Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be talking about Caitlin Clark. She makes history yet again, guys. Also, Wemby goes on a tear. Also, we'll talk about Boston Celtics dismantling the Golden State Warriors and a whole lot of other news as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And in this episode, it'll be a continuation of my week 17, week 18 recap. We already did part one. This will be part two, guys. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. Charles Barkley on, of course, Inside the NBA on TNT. You know those guys do a fabulous job there. Barkley says that no one in the West is worried about the Lakers or the Golden State Warriors, being the fact that they're both play-in teams, so nobody's nervous about seeing them. Kenny Smith tries to push back on that notion, and I actually heard the Give and Go guys, of course, the guys I listened to, Rick Kamla and Antonio Daniels, and they definitely went ballistic on what he said. And the reason is the Lakers are going to be talked about because of the presence of LeBron James. That's just the way it is. No matter the sports debate shows, LeBron James is going to come up and those Lakers are going to come up. That's just the way it is. And also given the fact you got a guy like Anthony Davis as well there. So, of course, they're going to be mentioned. And also they are a playing team that could possibly get into the playoffs. And once they're one of the lower seeds, they could give problems to a OKC who's now enjoying success at the highest level, being amongst the top three. Also, you have a Minnesota Timberwolves who are enjoying this kind of success as well. They're usually in the playoffs, but kind of a lower seed. The fact that they're amongst the top three as well, and they don't really have the track record of handling the lower seeds. So you have that. And then the Denver Nuggets, who, oh, by the way, has vanquished both of those teams, the LA Lakers and also the Golden State Warriors in the past. That's a team that you feel more confident if they were to face the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. As far as Golden State goes, they're actually kind of catching fire a little bit. You know, you got Draymond back. You got the revamped lineup. You're bringing Klay Thompson off the bench. I mentioned that in my other recap episode. So you have Steve Kerr, who's incorporating the younger players with the older players over there. So they're kind of getting some pop as far as that goes. Again, if a OKC or Minnesota was to see that Golden State ends up getting into one of those last seeds in the West, would that be a cause for concern for them? I'm sure it's something they would think about. But to automatically rule it out, as Barkley says, they shouldn't be worried. I don't know if I go there. Golden State still has championship pedigree. They're a couple of years removed from a title. So I don't know if you can out and out rule them out. And who knows, these kids you're playing, Kuminga, Moody, Pozemski, these kids may kind of surprise you. So I don't know if you can out and out rule them out. Sure, they're struggling, they're in the play-in position, but that doesn't take away from them being dangerous. So that's why I would have to say, as far as what Barkley said, I think you still kind of got to keep an eye out for those two teams. So that's my take on that. let us continue on. Caitlin Clark, she passes Lynette Woodard her AIAW scoring record. And actually, Caitlin Clark's coach, Lisa Boulder, actually said so. She said she didn't feel the record was real until Caitlin passed Lynette Woodard. So, you know, give credit to the Iowa coach for recognizing the fact that Lynette's record is valid. Sure, it was during the AIAW days, but that should not diminish from what was accomplished during those days. So it's nice to see Lynette Woodard getting her flowers. I actually mentioned that to her on IG, to which she appreciated. And during her senior day, she actually came out. Lynette was there. Also, Maya Moore was there. And you got celebrities like Travis Scott came to the game. You know, Caitlin's getting the attention, and rightfully so. We'll see how her team does come tournament time, because you're going to have a lot of tough teams out there. And unfortunately for her, she lost one of her teammates. Molly Davis went down with a knee injury. Looks like it's a torn ACL, which is bad news for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So we'll see what happens as far as that goes. But that's a pretty significant loss over there. But also, Caitlin has said she's not coming back because she had the COVID years. She says she's not coming back. She's declaring for the WNBA, which would put her smack dab number one overall and a pick that the Indiana Fever would make. So you have the likes of pairing Caitlin with a Aaliyah Boston, giving you that inside out kind of look. Of course, that will be a boon for that organization there. And Indiana, not too far from Iowa. So you have that kind of local flavor, so to speak. And then I hear the Odd Couple's Rob Parker. He was on there. Chris Broussard's on vacation. So, you know, he has a run of the place. So, you know, he's going to have these wild takes. He already has them when Chris is there. But this is what he said in terms of Caitlin Clark declaring for the WNBA. He says, you know, it's a wonderful accomplishment for her, but he places the financial strains that the WNBA is having on women. He says the fact that women doesn't support the product, that's cause for concern. And the fact that women, because if they were to support the WNBA like they should, these ladies perhaps wouldn't have to go overseas to places like South Korea, to Russia, China, and all these different places. So that caused me to, you know, he joked about it and kind of made a little fun of it. But I think beneath the bad attempt at humor, I think there is something to be said as far as why don't women support the WNBA as they should? You think of women's tennis, they're getting their pay over there and then some. You know, if you're a player who shows well in, you know, different tournaments and so forth and Grand Slams, you'll get your pay over there. But in terms of the WNBA, it doesn't seem like they're getting the bang for their buck. And I think I got to be careful here, but to rely on both men and women to support it. Me, myself, I'm an avid supporter of the WNBA. I'll be honest with you. I enjoy watching them play. I enjoy, you know, the style of play that they play over there. A lot of interesting storylines there as well. A lot of players that I have a tremendous respect for. and I enjoy seeing them play. In fact, I already got tickets for a few events for the coming season, but that's just me. I don't really have the answer. I think that's up to women to answer the question why they don't support the WNBA, because there's strength in numbers, guys. Make no mistake about it. Especially if you're talking politics or anything else, women will come out in droves for those sort of things. I mean, I guess you can't compare politics and sports, but I just wonder about it as well. Why women don't flood these arenas to support these ladies? I just wonder about it. Maybe there's an answer out there that I'm not seeing, but it's something to think about. I'll just leave it at that. All right, so that is that for that subject. Victor Wembanyama. Wow, he's really been on a tear lately, guys. And he puts up yet another rare stat line, guys. On February 23rd, in a road loss to the Lakers, a game I believe was nationally televised, here's what he does. 27 points. He made 3 3-pointers, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals, guys. This kid, man, I mean, he's putting up numbers, guys. Here's what he does in a marquee game on February 29th. In a win, actually. This is after their long road trip. You know, they go on that rodeo long road trip over there. But this is the first game back, and it's against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And of course, they're trying to drum up this rivalry between him and Chet Holmgren. In this game, here's what Wemby does. 28 points. He hits 5 threes in this one. 13 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks again, and 2 steals. The San Antonio Spurs, they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. Mind you, the Oklahoma City Thunder that's playing very well this season. And then here's another crazy stat line that he just produced. This was on March 3rd in a win against the Indiana Pacers. 31 points, of which he hit 3 3-pointers. 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 blocks, guys, for Wemby. First of all, kudos to Greg Popovich. He's still letting the kid play, even this late in the season. You know, he hasn't tried to shut the kid down. And I have to say this. He's not getting like a huge ton of minutes. He's getting like, you know, he'll get 32 here, maybe 30 there. But they're mostly under 30 minutes played, guys. So it's not like he's burning the kid out, which, you know, I give them credit for that. But the kid is playing well, man. I think he's a shoo-in for Rookie of the Year. I can't look in any other direction but his. And I think it would be a disservice to him not to get him a veteran point guard for the following season. He has to get somebody in there who can get him the ball, guys. The kid looks sensational. I can't say any more about it. Definitely giving Wemby his flowers because he's had a fantastic rookie season. So kudos to the kid. All right, with that said, let us move on. Shout outs to Dawn Staley. She reaches 600 wins as a coach. This is her 24th season of coaching, her 16th season at South Carolina. And she reached the 600 win mark in a win over Alabama. Her team is undefeated, 29-0, entering their conference tournament. So Dawn's got them in the right direction. Second year, they're going into the conference tournament undefeated. and possibly the NCAA tournament undefeated. Give her credit for that. She clinches her 8th SEC regular season title. And then Gino Auriemma, guys. He reaches 1,200 wins. And he does it in a game where he beats Seton Hall. He's actually the third coach to reach that milestone. The other being Tar Vanderveer, who just did it, and Coach Mike Krzyzewski as well. But he is the quickest to do it, so kudos to him. Gino Auriemma in his 39th season with the UConn Huskies, Lady Huskies. And he has his team rolling right now, and they're in a good position going into their conference tournament and into the NCAAs as well. So kudos to Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley for reaching those milestones. Let us continue on. We have a passing, unfortunately, guys. Former NBA player Robert Reed, he passes on February 19th at the age of 68, guys. He lost his battle with cancer. Robert Reed, he played 13 years in the NBA, and he had a one-year sabbatical, guys. And when I did the research, I was like, wait a second, that did happen, where he took a year off and devoted himself to his Pentecostal faith. He was being told by those in the church, his mother and grandmother, devout Pentecostal women. And he's being told that his playing basketball and his faith were kind of clashing there. So he took a year off, and then he came back to the NBA. And that actually, he took the 1982-83 season, he took off. And ironically, that was around the time Moses Malone left the Houston Rockets to play for the Philadelphia 76ers. He left in free agency. So Robert Reed, he played 10 years in Houston. He was a vital part of those Houston Rocket finals teams. One in 1981. That was with Moses Malone. And then 5 years later in 1986 with the Twin Towers of Hakeem Olajuwon and Ralph Sampson. And he was one of the first point forwards, guys, that we've seen in the NBA. In fact, he was drafted 1977 in the second round. He was the 40th pick overall. But Robert Reed passes, guys. So condolences to his family at this time. And then the final piece of news I'll give, guys. The Boston Celtics beats the brakes off of the Golden State Warriors. 140-88. Guys, that's a 52-point win that they have over Golden State. They do it, of course, in Boston. And actually, guys, this is their third 50-point-plus win over an opponent this season. They also did it against Brooklyn and against Indiana, all in Boston, by the way. And actually, the Golden State win was their third biggest in franchise history. The other two, a 133-77 win at Chicago, and this was on December 8th, 2018, and then a 128-75 win at Sacramento, and this was on January 25th, 2022. So actually, this is their biggest win in their arena. Definitely give Boston kudos for that. And then remember, two guys, Boston and Golden State met 2 years ago for the NBA championship, a series where Golden State would beat Boston 4-2. So exacting a little bit of revenge, so to speak, in that regard. For the game, Jaylen Brown, in 22 minutes, guys, this is what he did. 29 points with 3 rebounds and 3 assists. So limited time, he did damage. And actually, he was actually critiquing Golden State for the defense that they played on him. And he took advantage of them, guys. And then Jason Tatum, in 25 minutes, he had 27 points with 5 assists, 3 rebounds. And then, mind you guys, there was no Kristaps Porzingis in this game. He was ruled out prior to the game, guys. So they do this damage without Kristaps Porzingis. And mind you, at one point in the game, they were actually tied 21-21. And then that's when Boston erupted and they ended up being ahead at the half, guys, 82-38. Whew, good gracious. Steph Curry in that game, 4 points in 16 minutes. He was 0-for-9 from 3, guys. Of course, he would heat up against my Knicks and beat them a few nights before, but that's a story for another day. The only starter in double figures, guys, was Moses Moody with 11 points. Boston with an impressive win. They're playing very well, guys. Right now at 48-12. Listen, guys, they're looking very good. It's cause for worry. If you're a Knicks fan, it is, yeah. Boston's playing well. What more can you say? I know some people are critical of them. They shoot too many threes, so on and so forth. But, hey, they're getting results, so who can argue with that notion? But kudos to Boston. They handle Golden State, and I mean they handle them, guys. All right, with that said, guys, that is it for this episode. Much appreciated. I got a little special surprise coming up. Hopefully I'll get to get that out to you guys. So we're in March, which means March Madness is on the way. You'll have both the men's and the women's tournament. Haven't talked a lot of men's this season, guys. I think I'll explain when I have to talk about the brackets. I'll explain then. But my eyes have really been on the women's game because there's a lot happening there, a lot of excitement there. I look forward to talking about both nonetheless, so we'll see what happens. So, all right, guys, so that is it for me. I thank you for listening as always. All things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. I'm on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts. I'm there. Write reviews, guys. Write reviews of this podcast. Like the videos wherever you see it on YouTube and so forth. And I thank you as always. My dedicated listeners there, I hear from you and I appreciate you. And newcomers, definitely appreciate you as well. All right, guys. So with that said, I thank you for listening and we'll talk soon. Take care. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for following and supporting the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. You can find us at allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. Also, you can email us at sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. Like or comment on our videos there. You can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can follow me on all podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple, where you can leave a review. Support us, guys, at my donate page on my website. There I have a Buy Me a Coffee button, PayPal button, and a Spotify button. Also, you can cash at me, $GD, that sports dude. Thanks again for listening, and take care.